Live from the Rowe Auto Group Westbrook Auburn Studios, it's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
Somebody just said, I've destroyed the segment with Dr. Peter Earle. I completely disagree. And since it's my show, that's what matters. This is how I like doing it. I like the fact that we can talk about something other than politics or business. That's what I like. And if you don't like it, GAN's a damn good station. 7:40, David Jones is in the house, along with Matt Jacobson, Dee Dee Richardson, and my candidate for mayor in Westbrook, Linda Adams. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am fantastic.
Good to see
Actually,
you.
I'm looking at your side, do something great today.
Yes.
I started it great. I'm on your show.
Wow. So at least you appreciate it.
Oh.
There it is.
A little brownie points.
There it is.
Well, you know, you are supporting me for mayor.
I
so,
am.
You know.
Why not? No, I you know, people ask me, who are you going to vote for? And I say, I'm going to vote for Linda Adams. And they want to know, Linda Adams, they want to know why. And I said, well, I've worked with her on a lot of projects. Linda's hopeful. She's upbeat. She's well organized. She is really good under pressure when things don't work out. Remember when we had, 1,000
yes.
people show up for a 700-person event that we did together? And you were really good under pressure. And more importantly, I just really like you.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah. Well, I've said this to you a million times. And Dee Dee says that, too. Wherever we see you, if we're out and about, hey, come sit with us.
Yeah. No.
So,
we love music, so that's usually where we see each other lately.
Absolutely. But that's why, you know, people have asked me, and I've just said flat out, she's fierce. She stands up for what she believes. I admire that in anybody, even if I don't fully agree with them. And you're cool under pressure.
Thank you.
And when you were a city councilor, you did a good job. When you were city clerk, you did a great job. You did something that hadn't been done here in a long time. You cleaned up the voter rolls. That was really important to me because I was begging
Amazing.
For that to happen before you became clerk. And finally, you did it.
Yeah, that was a big job when I got in there. And that's why I encourage people to change it to being an appointed position, because getting somebody in there that didn't know how to run elections and all of that, had no knowledge, was tricky, right?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I came in there to get a little bit of a mess and cleaned it up and went through the ordinances and helped it make it easier for the businesses to do business in the city and get their licenses processed and make it more efficient on the city side. Those are the kind of things I want to do as mayor too. You know, go through each department and do an evaluation and say what's working and what isn't and what can we change to make it more efficient.
What's broken? How can I fix it?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. And if something's not working, maybe it's because it can't work, and we need to also be able to say that.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the reasons that really prompted me to wanting to run, I've been wanting to run for a while, and my husband, Sean, works for the city of Westbrook. He's the emergency vehicle tech.
We like Sean.
Love Sean. And
we you like know, him. You love him.
Right.
I just wanted to be clear. Sean, if you're listening, and I know you are, we
he
love
absolutely
show,
is. He sent me a text this morning and said, can't wait to hear you on Ray's show, because
he's
a follower. So, you know, I was
she
working.
She said follower, not a fan. I'm offended now. I
well,
thought you were
going to
do something
both,
great today.
He's both. I'm both.
Kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So I'm distracting you, but I'm in one of those moods today.
It's okay.
Well,
it's fine.
It's what she does when she's being distracted is telling. Like, she can handle this.
Exactly.
Right?
That's right.
That's
why I'm supporting her for mayor, because I'm distracting her and she's going right back on task.
That's right. She's focused. That's what we need in leadership in our state and in the city of Westbrook. So.
Yeah. So Sean has been wanting me to run for a while. I have had the desire, but as you know, I was on the city council. I left that in 2019 to go to work for the Rock Row Development, and I believed in doing that because it was the largest project happening in our city and right at the gateway. I wanted to make sure things were done right. I feel like over the past year or so, my time was kind of coming to an end with them. I didn't let anybody know that, but things just weren't going the way that I thought they were going to go. And so last year, I was the project manager of their Quarryside Beer Garden in partnership with Lone Pine. And I was shocked at the challenges I ran into trying to build that beer garden. It cost us way more money than it needed to. It took way longer than it needed to. And that's what really got me going. Like, the people working for the city and the process that I had to go through, if that's happening to somebody who knows the city and knows the process, what is happening for other businesses trying to expand here or come here?
Matt Jacobson knows that really well. They tried to expand into Rockland and all the stuff that, their business, Summit Gas, went through. The challenges you're talking about are the challenges that every business in Maine faces.
Yep.
It's epidemic at this point, and it's so refreshing to hear a local official talk this way, because it's brutal. I mean, think about CMP. I know, you know, the corridor project was controversial, but they did everything right.
They did it according to the book, right?
They did everything. And then we get to the end of the day, it's maybe not. Yeah. Well, that's a problem, and it really is a chilling effect on investment. And a mayor with your sort of attitude is going to attract investment, and that's just a better way to be.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like I'm coming at this from so many different experiences, from working for the city of Westbrook off and on for almost 20 years. So I know how to work in the city. I know all of the players, and I know the process of things. And then going on to the city council, I know that end of things. But then also working for a commercial developer in the city, having that experience for 5 years and knowing what happened there, it is definitely going to be beneficial for businesses trying to come here or expand here.
And one of the things I haven't said to you, but I'll say here publicly now, your vision and your understanding, coupled with Dan Stevenson, who is the economic development director for Westbrook, I think is going to help this city explode in a very positive way.
I agree. I've had a few conversations with people before I decided to run, and then after I announced it, and Dan was one of those people, and I just asked him, what's the direction? What's happening here? And he filled me in on a lot. I can't talk about some of it here, but you know, there's an exciting housing project going in downtown Westbrook that everybody's looking forward to. The Vertical Harvest still needs to be opened, so that's in process. And, you know, and of course, Rock Row, and I know some people have some hesitation. I am not with Rock Row anymore, and that's why I decided to run. It's like I feel like the stars have aligned. I found out, you know, things were ending for me kind of mutually within days of me having to collect signatures to get my name on the ballot. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I guess I'm spending Labor Day weekend collecting signatures then. And it wasn't easy because a lot of people were gone.
Good Lord, it's giving you a message, though.
That's right. That's exactly how I
feel. Timing is everything.
It is timing. Right. And so I'm on board and I'm going to help. And everybody is like, well, are you going to play favorites with Rock Row because you worked for them? And it's like, anybody that knows me knows that I don't do favors. I did that when I was city clerk. I treat everybody equally. It's the process.
Yeah,
right?
I came in and asked her a question once. She said, get out of my office. She did?
I would never do that to you, Ray.
So, as you know,
because
everybody knows, a big problem we're facing in Westbrook and communities all over Maine, you may have seen the South Portland mayor, he's apologized now, but he told the people of South Portland, if you can't afford our taxes, take out a reverse mortgage. I have a list of 203 families here, 203 families in Westbrook who have reached out to me, who were seniors, who have said, I grew up in this home. I raised my family in this home. They are running me out of town. I don't know how one family got a $2,000 tax increase on property taxes. Mm. And, you know, look, I know people say, oh, well, you're against schools. No, I'm not against schools. I'm for a quality public education.
There you go.
But you got to find that balance. The people have to be able to afford it. And I want our students to be well educated so they can be the future leaders of the state and see an opportunity here. That's a problem you're going to have to face. As the mayor, uniquely in Maine, you have tremendous authority because we have a mayoral form of government.
Yes. Well, one of the things I did is I met with Peter Lancia, the superintendent, because I don't have children. So, you know, I'm one of those people in our community that you need to justify some things to or educate me, more importantly, about what's the funding that you need. Mm. And so when I met with Jerry Bryant, the city administrator, before I decided to run, and I said, okay, fill me in on some things to come and explain to me about the budget. And he said to me, you know, there's definitely challenges. I asked him if the city council and the school committee have all been meeting collectively on a regular basis. That was talked about years ago when I was on the council.
Yeah.
And he said that really hasn't been happening. I said, even with like state officials, you know, the senators, state representatives, everybody in the room, no, it hasn't been happening. One-off discussions have been happening here or there, but not collectively. And I said, that's a problem. You know, when the city council gets the school committee budget in front of them, and that's the time they decide to scrutinize it, instead of throughout the year having conversations about what the needs are and both sides. I mean, we have to be in this together.
A little planning, maybe, is what you're
saying? A little planning.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Common sense planning. Mm. And, you know, part of the problem is that they've been so divided for so long. And so when I met with Peter Lancia, you know, we talked about the
school. Who is the school superintendent? Just wanted to remind everyone.
School superintendent. And he said the enrollment's down. There's about 2,400 students. Almost a quarter of them are special needs. Almost a quarter.
A quarter of them?
Almost a quarter.
600 kids are special needs.
A little over 500. A little over 500 are English as a second language students. Those all require special education. Mm. And if we don't have enough
seats. How many languages?
29 languages.
Ush.
29. I didn't even know there were 29 languages in the world. I'm just going to say, okay? No. I was shocked.
There's thousands, but yeah.
Right? But I mean, really,
yeah.
29 languages in
the world? You're being facetious.
Yeah,
yeah, right. But so, no, it's crazy.
It well, with dialects, there probably are maybe close to 1,000.
They said this year there's a lot of Portuguese students speaking Portuguese. Yeah. They don't have any teachers that speak Portuguese, so they've got to find resources for that. The specially needs students, if they don't have enough seats in their classes for that, then they have to transport them out of their school system to a school system that has an open seat. They are transporting students anywhere from Kittery to Lewiston right now.
Yeah. Which is insane.
Really?
So, well,
yes.
And as you
well, it's
may
less
know,
expensive maybe than bringing in the resource they need to have them in school, right?
Well, and then you run into problems. Do they have the transportation, right? Everybody's short-staffed with different things. So I said to him, I'm on the Regional Transportation Program Board. Have you ever talked to them about maybe utilizing their resources for transportation needs, special transportation needs? And he's like,
collaboration?
No. Right.
There you go.
And he's like, no. He goes, I don't know if we'd be able to do that because they're transporting minors, but maybe.
In Boston, kids ride the public transportation system to school
they do
as
in,
part
they
of
do
it.
In Portland.
Yeah, as part of it. So it could be done. We got to think creatively.
We do.
As you may know, special needs students in the state of Maine have been so neglected, the federal government is literally suing the state of Maine over it. Think about that.
I told
the audience 15 months ago that this was being investigated. And of course, you know, the usual naysayers are like, no, you're making it up. They are literally suing the state of Maine because of our inability to provide services to special needs children.
Unbelievable.
Of all the children out there, you know, and every child should be treated well.
Mm-hmm.
But special needs children, obviously, they struggle, and you're putting them at a tremendous disadvantage. The question for me really is, Linda, and I think it's the question on the minds of most people in Maine who pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
We are putting all of this money from the state into the school system, and the school system is asking for a tremendous amount of money from the local taxpayers. When is it going to be enough? When are they going to say we have enough money to do the job?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think the answer to that is regional schools. All you know, if you have regional schools instead of all these individual little fiefdoms, right? Then you can collaborate and pool your resources, and then you're not having, you know, all these same things. You know, it's repetitive. It's just
absolutely
what it is. But you know, I mean, if there's 500 kids just in Westbrook. What about the other towns? How many other towns have the same issue? And then they're having to go, and what's the cost to the taxpayer? I think what, Ray, is it 70-something percent goes towards education of your taxes that you pay? I mean, think about how much money we're putting at this. And if we're not smart enough to understand it, we have to regionalize at this point, to, you know, especially in the more densely populated areas, that, you know, we're turning a blind eye to the situation. That's a problem.
It is a problem.
I mean, that's a real problem. 500 kids in Westbrook alone that needs special needs.
I mean, that's crazy.
And
that's
so
one quarter of the school system.
What's it cost, you know?
Yeah.
And what about the logistics about it? I mean, how do they transport the kids?
And 29 languages? I mean, really? Honestly? 29 languages?
29 languages.
Portland has what, 56? I think Portland has 56 different languages spoken.
Wow. What happened to when people come to our country, they learn English?
I adopted a girl from Costa Rica. The first thing I did was put her in school to learn how to speak English. Because the only thing she could say when I met her was yes. That's the only thing. Yes, yes. And it,
take me to America, please.
She was so happy.
Please, yes,
when
yes.
When Lizzie was, third grade, there was a girl that came from Russia or somewhere over
there. Yeah, I remember her, yes.
Masha,
Masha.
And they had a buddy system. Lizzie didn't understand what she was saying, and she didn't understand what Lizzie was saying. But within 6 months, she was speaking English.
Mm.
And Lizzie was actually learned whatever language she had, because it was kind of like Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, right.
Right, yeah.
Well, it was. No,
yeah,
but it really was. I remember that now.
Perfect analogy.
But
yeah.
Here's the bottom line. To these children who speak all these languages, and English is not one of them, they are at an economic disadvantage.
Absolutely.
Going forward. If you can't speak English in this country, it's almost impossible to be successful.
Absolutely.
And we're harming these children. We're disabling these children.
I know.
It should be a focus, but...
Yeah, I just, I know, there's so, I know there's
I'm
so much more to say.
Well,
about
I mean, that's
but.
Why you need a person like Linda in there to do the job, you know, to focus, and she'll see, you know, the forest through the trees and navigate a better way and less expensive way for the taxpayer.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I'm known for bringing people together collectively. And
I agree
and,
with that.
You know, finding a solution to a common problem. I don't have all the answers, but there's a lot of people out there that do. You know, if we all come together and have discussions about it, that's not what's happening right now. And that's what I want to change. And one, the last thing I said to Peter is, what do we need to do? What is the one thing that you need to come together with us to work? He's like, respect. He's like, we go into the city council meetings and it's everybody's on the defensive because we get yelled at. And it's like we have our own body of, you know, committee too, trying to make these difficult decisions. I did ask him your question that you had said to me, like, you know, some people had felt like they'd been lied to. You know, you were told you had to cut $700,000. You went back, you cut it. Why didn't you cut it in the first place? It's like, we did need all of those things, but we cut back the things that we thought, okay, if we have to do without this, we can. One of them was the CDL instructor for the CDL vote class. Hadn't filled it. They decided not to fill it. That's something we probably need. You know, if we want to have people going into the trades, driving trucks, learning CDL. So it's really difficult decisions have had to be made, but we're not making them together.
But there's a different way to do that, and that's part of the problem that I struggle with. Mm. The CDL instruction could come from private business within the schools.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there are many that want to do it because they need drivers.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. I mean, we need people like you that are part of the politics system,
yeah,
per se. You know, you're not a politician yet. but, you know, we need those opinions and we need to hear them. And some people in the past have been very blocked to other people's opinions. If they have their mind set on something, they're not open to it. And this is how we're going to do it. And that's it. And that's just not me.
So what I'm hearing is that you're willing to listen.
100%.
Right.
I think the bottom line is a good idea's origins does not matter. A good idea is a good idea, no matter where the good idea comes from.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And at least throw the good idea out there and see if you can beat it to death. And if you can kill it, maybe it wasn't a good idea. But if you can't kill it, maybe it is a good idea. But I know for a fact right now that there are private business owners who would come in and help train for CDL license because they're desperate for drivers.
Oh, vocational training across the
Absolutely.
Board.
Absolutely.
I mean, we had metal shop, wood shop, auto shop. We had all these things when I went to school, and we were training people to get into the workforce. There's nothing wrong with being in the workforce. They think everybody has to be a rocket scientist.
Yeah.
Or everybody wants to be Elon Musk. Well, the bottom
Can
line
everybody
is,
be Elon Musk? I don't know.
I don't know. That guy's amazing. But, you know, the average person just, you know, these trades are needed.
Yes.
And to ignore that side of the fence. I mean,
the drummer of my band, Charlie Collins, is the director of the whole workforce development training for the whole community college system of the state of Maine. You know, so this is what he works
on. What a resource to bring to the table.
What a resource. Exactly. Thank goodness, Cowbell, they've been super supportive of me. They held a meet and greet for me. And friends of mine own the Coastal Pharmacy and Wellness in Portland. And they came, even though they live in Portland, they wanted to support me. And the first person that showed up was from Portland. I didn't know who he was. Jeff Rowan, I'll give him a shout out. And I said, oh, you know, you're from Portland. He's like, yeah, my friends Kim and Cassie from Coastal Pharmacy invited me. They thought I might be interested in hearing what you had to say. Well, this gentleman is a consultant helping companies make things, processes more efficient. He comes in, he does an evaluation, he helps them, you know, streamline things, right, especially for customers. And he came up to me after I spoke and he said, I want to offer my services to you pro bono.
Right.
He's like, I want to be able to come in and I want to help you. So when you're a mayor, I'm going to offer that to you. And I was like, wow, thank you.
Well, that's one of the reasons that you called me and said, I'm running. And I said, before you said a word, I'm in your corner. Because you have a broad network that I think you can bring to the table. And just like you talked about this gentleman, you know, everybody needs to have their process looked at. We're in a process of evaluation here right now because of some changes going on. And I think some really exciting stuff is going to come out of it. If you don't do that, you get stuck in your ways and then you won't change.
Yeah.
And I'm an old dog, but I can be taught new tricks. Not as old as Matt, but, you know.
And better looking, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. Anyhow, he went to the United States Naval Academy. I didn't, so, you know, it's good. Linda, we got to go.
Okay.
Do you have a way for people to find out more about you?
Yes, I have a website, WestbrookMaineMayor.com.
WestbrookMaineMayor.com. See, she's very helpful. I love that.
Yep. Yeah, they can contact me right on there, and or my email if they want to email me directly, ladams4mayor.com. @gmail.com.
Yeah, so I don't ever speak for my wife.
Okay.
I'm speaking for myself. I support you 1,000%.
Thank you.
And whatever you can do. Dee Dee, you're from Westbrook. You get to vote. I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, as soon as she said, I was in.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly.
You. So you have two votes here in the studio. David,
I don't live in Westbrook, or I would definitely be voting.
Well,
for
if you could spread the word for me, I'm sure you know people in Westbrook.
We got to get
Matt lives
Chris,
in Cumberland,
Chris
so he
Wilson.
Can't vote for you. But
we got to get Chris Wilson on board here.
One thing about
right?
is that when she says she's going to do something,
she does it.
She does it.
Amen.
Thank
I agree.
You. I appreciate the support.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, for me, the biggest thing is under pressure. I've watched you personally when we worked on projects together. You're very cool under pressure. A lot of people aren't.
Thanks.
Yeah. We got to go.
Smooth as silk.
WestbrookMaineMayor.com. We got to go.
Goodbye. We fix people by fixing their car. I like being part of that.
It's a great feeling knowing that you've done something that looks good and you know the customer is going to be happy with.